When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hey folks, Dan Frio here. We are going to talk about what news is coming next week that's going to affect mortgage rates. Because when you have the title of your channel is The Rate Update, I guess you pretty much have to know what the heck's going on with mortgage rates. So let's get over to it. Here's where mortgage rates are today, and this is going to be passed. I told you we'd hit 6.8 or a little bit more today based on the bond market from this morning. But did you guys see the news about this thing right through here? So a lot of people says, Dan, you're not really talking about the national debt anymore because of now that Trump's in. Folks, I hate the national debt, just so you know. We had some fantastic news come out this morning. Treasury posted the unexpected surplus in June as tariff receipts surge. Let me know what you guys think about the tariffs down below. Do you think this might offset the big, beautiful tax bill? Do you think this is going to push a surge in the inflation front? Hold on, who is texting me? Please hold on 1 second. So this is what we're seeing in the headlines today. I got people texting me. Sorry about that, folks. With government's red ink swelling throughout the year, June saw a surplus of just over $27 billion following $316 billion deficit in May. Customs duties totaled $27 billion for the month, up from $3 billion in May, and a 301% increase from June of 2024. So that's what we're seeing right through here. How good was it? Well, here it is. When the government red sinks, so it's dropping here. That brought the fiscal year-to-date deficit down to $1.34 trillion. So this is going to be updated. Well, no, not that part of it. We're still $37 trillion in the hole. But this number is going to really start helping on the deficit side. So that can play a role, folks, in what happens with our interest rates. So that's what we're focusing in on right through there. So here's the news that we have coming out. But the reason why we're going to go over the news that I'm coming up to is right through here. The Federal Reserve, they're going to meet in 18 days. The Federal Reserve is still a role player in all this stuff. I know Trump's tariffs and all the other stuff play a role, but let's take it kind of down the line. Let's say there's a half and half. Let's say the tariffs at this point are causing havoc on one side of the equation. And then on the other side of the equation, we don't really know what the heck the Federal Reserve is going to do. So what I want to focus in on right now is what the Federal Reserve is going to look at. And if these numbers come in next week, I'll say if they come in on point or maybe just a little bit lower, the markets are going to rally, because this would be a signal that, okay, we aren't going to see massive inflation from the tariffs. We're starting to get a lot of money from these tariffs that's going to bring down the national debt eventually. But what's it going to do to inflation? That's the biggest concern that people have right now. So in 18 days, the Federal Reserve will be meeting. Over through here, this is what they look at, folks. So what we want to focus in on, the biggest thing right now, is this number right through here, the inflation numbers. The jobs report came in last week, and actually the jobs report was better than expected. Okay, there was not as many people getting laid off. The unemployment rate actually ticked down. So now we want to focus in on where inflation's going to go, how the big beautiful bill is going to add to that, and how the taxes are going to add to that. So the data we have coming in next week is going to fill a void of a lot of confusion right now. And this data hopefully will start bringing in some of the information we need to know on what the tariffs are doing when it comes to our inflation. So what I monitor when it comes to inflation, what the Federal Reserve monitors, is right through here. Let me just show you a chart that on what they monitor. They monitor the PCE. This is the personal consumption expenditure. Okay. Yeah, I follow that as well, but you and I are most affected by this, consumer inflation. So next week, we're going to get consumer inflation, multiple reports of that. And then the following day, we're actually going to get producer inflation. Now, this is going to start tying in this tariff data for us. Are the tariffs going to start increasing all the price levels on the producer side? If it does, then it's going to float over to the consumer side. Well, last time when the reading came in, it actually came in lower than expected. Well, this time they're expecting it to tick up just a little bit. Or I'm sorry, right through here. This is the PPI. Let's move forward to Wednesday, the PPI coming out, because that's the kind of the flow of goods and services through the economy. It goes through the manufacturers, and they're going to have to purchase items. So this is the purchasing products of that. This is manufacturing purchases. So last reading, it was, I think the previous reading was 0.3. And then it dropped to 0.1. And this was a market shock because everybody's saying, okay, tariffs are going to be inflationary. And I'm admitting to that as well. But how inflationary? So now they're saying that it might tick up another 0.1 to 0.2. I'm telling you, folks, if this stays at 0.1, you're going to see a market rally because they're going to say, well, producer inflation is not ticking up. Thus, most likely the consumer inflation is not going to tick up. But it's weird how they have it. They come up with the consumer inflation first, and then the following day they come up with the producer inflation. So let's go through the expectations of what Wall Street's expecting. And I want to just let you know, if they come on at point, what's going to happen? If they come up worse than expected, what's going to happen, and what's going to happen if they come in a little better. So I'm going to go through each one of these, and then I'll give you my context on where I think they're going to go and the expectations. So let's get through it. OPEC, we'll have a report next week. I follow oil, believe it or not. If you follow my channel, you know that. OPEC just came in, and I think they're increasing oil by 700,000 barrels a day. That's going to help on the oil front. So we'll check oil here in a minute when I do my kind of closing bell, because I'm going to wrap all this into one today. So we have oil, we're going to check on that, but oil production is ramping up right now, and I'm expecting oil to stay stagnant as long as the Middle East and everything else can kind of just stay at a ceasefire or resolve everything. But then we're going to get to core inflation. So you're going to see things right through here. It says core CPI, YOY, core CPI, MOM, CPI YOY and CPI MOM. Okay, so what does this mean? Okay, so basically what core means is they strip out food and energy from the costs. Okay, so what they do is they take a basket of goods and they stamp a price tag on all these. They're goods and services. And then in the future time, they'll take that basket and then next year they'll say, okay, how much has that future basket or how much has that basket of goods increased in price or decreased in price? And they do it year over year and month over month. Okay, in that basket's all kind of stuff. So what they do is they pull out food and energy, okay? And because it's hugely volatile, look at eggs. Eggs were, what, 10 bucks a dozen, and then it came back down to 2 or 3. So that if you take that out of the equation, it kind of smooths out the numbers. So the core is that. It strips out food and energy, and it's the YOY is year over year, and then you have June. So from last June to this June, here's what happened. There was a core CPI increase by 2.8. They're not giving us any estimates for now, but on Monday when we come back, I'll show you what their estimates are. It'll probably be posted in here. But then over month, here's what they're expecting. It to go from 0.1 to 0.3. Okay, the last time we read these, let me see if I can go back and see if they did revisions on this. If you go back through here, here's the revisions. So they forecasted, previously was 0.2, they forecasted 0.3, came in at 0.1. This is the last reading. So they forecasted 0.3 last time, and it came in at 0.1. Well, they're expecting 0.3 again, because they're expecting eventually the tariff news is going to get put into this, and that's what they're expecting it to do, maybe increase the CPI by 0.2%. Okay, so that's what's expected. CPI overall, year over year, last reading was 2.4. The CPI month over month was 1.1. They're expecting that to go to 0.3 as well. Let's look at what that data did last time as well. See if they said the same thing. Last time it was 0.2. They forecasted 0.2. It came in at 0.1. So now they're saying this is going to go to 0.3. If you look back in history, you know, the PPI numbers aren't signaling that this should go to 0.3, but we're going to see how that works out next week. Folks, on this channel, what I do is I try to provide you all the details. I don't know, and nor does anybody else know, really what's going to go on with mortgage rates, with home prices, stock market, and Bitcoin. If I did, I sure as heck wouldn't be sitting right here doing this video with you. I'd be in the Bahamas or I'd be in jail for insider trading. So that's my context on that. So that's what you're seeing basically through here. All right, we have the FOMC. Some of the people are talking next week as well, and they're always talking, so that can sway the markets. And then on Wednesday, we have the PPI and the core PPI. And again, what this is just producer price index. How much on the producer side are things going up? And we're going to pay quite attention to that. And then the rest of the week, we're going to have continued jobless claims, initial jobless claims. We're going to get a lot of that information also on retail sales. And then on Friday, we're going to get some numbers on housing and building permits. So next week, other than Monday, there's something every day for somebody. But Tuesday and Wednesday are going to be the core days that we're going to get the inflation numbers that's going to move the markets. That, and again, the tariff deals. So let's get over to the headlines that we're seeing today. That's what we're expecting next week. The Dow Jones doesn't like the data today. I think Trump's tweeting once again. Oh, here's the headlines. Treasury posts unexpected surplus in June. So please comment down below. You guys can start some arguments down there, but you guys know how I feel about all this stuff. I'm not apologetic of it. I just think we should give the administration a chance and see what they can do with this stuff. I think they're going to start treating a lot of things like a company, and that's maybe what our government needs. It needs to get rid of a lot of the waste and a lot of the overstaffing, but you know, I don't work there. I don't know. I just have to have confidence in these people that they're going to do the right thing for you and me and the people in our country. So no disrespect to anybody out there. What I'm just trying to do is saying, you know, when you start seeing on a daily basis, now I do watch both channels of news and I go down the middle with things, but there is just a lot of fraud and abuse in a lot of areas of government and a lot of areas of a lot of other things. But the government is basically the biggest entity in this whole country, so we need to focus in on that. Trump just announced a 35% tariffs on Canada starting in August. Farm scrambles after Trump's $200% tariff. Trump's 50% Brazil tariffs emergency. So you're going to have all this data and all this noise probably for the next 2-3 weeks or more. Think, folks, there's probably hundreds of countries out there that they're trying to negotiate with. And I know everybody's getting antsy. And I know President Trump came in and said, I'd have this done in a week. There's no way he's going to do this in a week. There is so many things that need to be done. But at least if they're taking the top priorities with a lot of these things. And that's at least what we're hoping that they're doing. So right now we got the Dow Jones and basically the indices across the board down. The S&P just hit an all-time high the other day. So a little bit of retraction from there. But nothing really, you know, if you go across here, the NASDAQ's down 34, S&P's down 20. Let's just say it's just a flat day. The VIX spiked up a little bit, 2% today. That shows the anxiety level on Wall Street's just a little bit higher than it was. And if you start looking at all this stuff, now you know why. I mean, just look at the news. It's just one thing after another about, you know, things that are going on and stuff like that. You go over to the bond market, what we're seeing right now, whew, it just ticked. I don't know if you saw that. It just ticked down 20 ticks. So there was really no economic news out this morning that really made this pop down. So I'm expecting this to kind of rally back, but I think next week, everybody's just sitting on pins and needles saying, what's going to happen over the weekend with the tariff deals, and who knows what Trump's going to do at that time? And then next week, how's the inflation numbers and the jobs numbers and everything else going to look like? And that's where, unfortunately, we're going to be at the mercy of the markets next week on the data that's going to get provided. So let's get through, and let me give you my expectations on what the news should be or what I'm expecting the data to come back. So if we go back to the economic calendar, I'll just give you my forecast. The CPI right through here, it was 2.8. I'm just going to say that's going to be steady to maybe up 0.1. So you might hit a 2.9. Core CPI, this is 0.1 to 0.3. I don't know when they did this report, and I don't know where oil prices were. But if oil prices didn't hit their high, you know, go over $65 and almost to $70 a barrel in this reporting number, this might be a little bit hot. This might come in at 0.2. If it does, and these other numbers kind of come in at the same thing, the 0.1 versus the 3 comes in at 0.2, you're basically going to see the markets or Trump just plowing on Powell, basically saying inflation's not moving, and so you need to move at this point. But if these numbers come in a little bit hotter, then that's going to give the Federal Reserve a little bit ammunition saying, see, we don't know what's going to go on with the tariffs, and we don't know what's going to go on with inflation. So how can we predict, or why would we be cutting in this atmosphere, even though everybody's saying the federal funds rate is probably 100 basis points or 1% overpriced. Okay, sorry about that, folks. So that's what the markets are saying. I'm going to have to agree with them. The Fed needs to cut a little bit. I wouldn't be aggressively cutting into this market because of the tariffs. But you have to be cutting because you got to bring the short-term rates down, and the Federal Reserve kind of, they don't control it, but they have great influence over that. So that's what I'm thinking through there. Same thing with the PPI. So we're going to get the CPI the first day. How those numbers go, the markets will rally or crash based on the data, and then it'll pause, and then it'll wait for the next day's data. So this is the data we're looking at because this is what the Federal Reserve is going to look at, and then they're going to look at Thursday's numbers when it comes to the jobs numbers and continued jobless claims and everything else. So, folks, I wish I knew what these numbers were going to come in at, but I'm just giving you my analysis. If they're on point or better, there's going to be much pressure on the Federal Reserve to cut rates. If it is basically a little bit higher than expected or much higher than expected, the Federal Reserve is going to basically get a feather in their hat saying, okay, here's what we have. We're not going to budge until we know how these tariffs are going to roll through our economy. So basically that's the information that we have that's coming in next week that will it will play a role in the market and what the market does. If you guys have any questions for me, I'd love to take those. I get a lot of questions right now. There's a lot of people looking to refinance based on these rates. So if you don't know who I am and what I do, if you just stumbled across this channel, my name is Dan Frio. I actually do videos twice a day to inform you guys what's going on with these things over here and the whys behind it. I'm actually a federally licensed mortgage loan officer. If you're out there looking to buy or refinance, I'd love to help. I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. I do have a slogan. It's one application, one credit pool. We're going to shop your loan to over 30 different lenders. Now, how do we do that? I go over it every day. I work at a bank, but we're also set up with 33 other lenders, kind of like a broker. Okay, but we're not a broker, we're actually a federal bank. So what this allows me to do is when you're asking for a quote or you're asking to get pre-approved, I can use my systems and 32 other bank systems, their programs, their rates, and even programs like this. If anybody's on here and you're looking to buy a home, you got to check out this program right through here. This is how you can get up to $7,000 in grants to help you purchase that home. There's no lien on the property and there's no paybacks. That's the biggest benefit of this because a lot of people are interested in refinancing right now, and you might have got a down payment assistance loan that now you might owe $10,000, $15,000 on, and it's going to make it pretty difficult to refinance, not because your home values went down, because it's a second lien on your property. So this is a great program to take advantage of because it's not a lien. So after you close, basically you'll have nothing to really hold you back from financing in the future, especially if you have an FHA loan. So let's recap what we're seeing for today. Mortgage rates ticked up just a little bit, up 0.03. I think this is going to be the peak of it. I don't see us going up to 7%. Anytime soon. I don't even think 6.9 is in the cards. My range is 6.5 to 6.75 once a lot of the tariff news and a lot of the dust and noise starts to settle. So that's basically our report for today. So next week will be volatile. It will be crazy. But some of the good news, like I said, to end the week is the Treasury is actually, our national debt is actually starting to go down because a lot of the revenue that's being brought in by tariffs right now. So if you're for or against tariffs, folks, I'm not even going to give you my judgment on that, but it seems like it's helping on the revenue side of things. We're just going to see or be concerned on how this is going to play a role in inflation. So that's our post for today, folks. I hope you found interest, or I hope you found knowledge and some guidance in what I did this week. So if you would, I'm going to ask you guys, I'm trying to get to 40,000 subscribers. I don't seem like I'm begging and pleading, but if you guys just can click that button over there, we're at about 500 new subscribers a month. We can get that to maybe 600 or 700. We can get to 40,000 pretty quick. So if nobody has any questions, I will let you go for the day. I won't be doing a closing bell because I got 9 applications in last night, so I got to get to them. So, and I have consultations later through the day as well. So if you want to reach out to us for some assistance, you can go to The Rate Update. Here's ways to contact me and my team. Go to therateupdate.com. Here's our phone number. You can call us right up through there. If you want to talk to me, just click this. You'll send me a message. And please make sure you add in your name and phone number. Love to call you. Love to text you. I can even send you a video if you're asking me a question on that. If you guys have a rate quote from somebody, you've been asked out there, trying to get refinance to see what kind of rate you can get in fees, check out our loan estimate tab. This is a spot where you can upload the loan estimate you received from your lender. And I'll review it with the 33 lenders that we have to see maybe if I can get you a lower rate or lower fees. So that's what you can do there. And then if you haven't started the refinance process and you're a homeowner and your rate's over 7.5%, check out our refinance button right through here. What I want you to do is just put in your mortgage information in here and what rate do you want to try to refinance at? So let's say you're at 7.5 and you're like, Dan, when these rates hit 6.5, I want you to call me. Well, put in your information right through here, and that's what we do. So you'll put in your information here, tell me what rate you want, the house value, and a bunch of other things, what kind of loan it is. Submit it. It'll go right into an Excel spreadsheet that I review daily. We don't sell the data. I don't want to sell your data because I'd love to help you myself. So that's our report for today, folks. Here, what do we got here? Let's see if we got any questions before I go. Let's go. want to thank you for the information on BTC ETF. With that information, I'm up. God bless you, brother. So did you see, let's go to crypto today. I didn't want to gloat about this, but crypto, I just added to my position about 2-3 weeks ago. But if you ever looked at BIT, if you look at BITX, this thing is crazy. It's actually Bitcoin times two. So it multiplies your gain or loss. Here, let's go through it. Let's go to the portfolio. So I'm glad you're with me today. There's only a handful of people here. So let's go and see how our portfolio is doing today. If you've ever watched my stock talk events, what we did is several months ago, I created a kind of a mock portfolio to just help people understand, you know, how does the stock market work? You know, every day when you jump in and you see, you know, the Dow's up 50 points or this is down or what does it really mean? And if you're sitting there saying, I have no clue, that's the wrong answer. I want you to have a clue. So here's the holdings that we did. And check out this one. It's BITX. It is, let me break that down for you. So you can see, and you can see the returns on this thing. Basically, it's a 2x Bitcoin strategy. So whatever Bitcoin does, it multiplies it. Look at this. It's up 7% today. If you go back, look at where we are just year to date, 21%, 1 year, 125% returns in 1 year. So I added to my personal position in this last week when I think it hit about 106 the crypto, and I was like, okay, this is. And here's my whole thought about it. Let me ask you why you bought it, because you know the reason why I bought it is when the administration got approved. I'm like, okay, we know they're cryptocurrency, they're enthusiasts, and they're going to do everything they can to make this work. And then once they got involved and the world started getting involved and all the corporations starting to get involved, now even you might even be able to use cryptocurrencies in the mortgage process now that has never been allowed before. So it's getting more mainstream, and as it does, this number is just going to keep going up and up and up and up. That's my assumption. Okay, I think it's heavily overvalued to a point. It's scary to get in now at 118 when I start buying into this at like 40. But it's kind of the same thing like NVIDIA. I can't pull the trigger on NVIDIA because I don't know how much higher it's going to go. But let's go through the rest of this. If anybody wants to stay with us, this is a portfolio. What happened was I had a friend of mine. He said, Dan, the cool thing is you talk about these things, but it would be really even more awesome if you can actually create a portfolio and just show people how it really works. So this is basically the portfolio we created. We started it back in September of last year. So we're going almost on a year. The returns on some things are fantastic. Others aren't so good, but I'm just here to teach you these things. So I'm not telling you to buy these things. I just want to show you, you know, how you research stocks, what ideas or how do I think of ideas to invest in. I invest long-term. I don't want to just flash in the pan and just say, okay, I'm going to buy this and maybe sell next week. Because if it doesn't work out, like here's a stock that we hypothetically bought. OKLO. Okay, this was I wanted to get in when everybody started talking about nuclear. I'm like, okay, what would be a great nuclear play to get into? So I'm like, okay, this would be a fantastic stock to, you know, based on we did an AI research. Okay, when we broke it down, it ended up saying this was probably one of the best companies to invest in. Look at this chart though. We bought it, here's what happened. We bought it down in here. And then what happened? It went all the way up here like 2-3 days later. We were up 30% on our money. and then it just came all the way back down to basically where we bought it at. So these are the ones you really have to pay attention to, because if you start seeing this fall, you know, 5-10%, just dump it. You know, but I didn't do enough research on this one to really play a role in that, but I just wanted to show you guys how to do it when it comes across there. But let's look at our overall portfolio and just see how it's faring for the day. These are some numbers here. Let's see if I can figure out what they are. This is aerospace and defense, and I added to that because of this is cybersecurity. And there's one more up here. Hold on a second. Long-term treasury. These two, the reason why I added to it, it's defense and aerospace and then cybersecurity. When Trump, they had their meeting, I think it was Switzerland or something like that not too long ago, the NATO. NATO agreed to increase their defense spending to 5% of their GDP. That's in the tune of like 600, I think it was 600 million or 600 billion a year that NATO would then spend. And they're not spending nearly that now. So where's that money going to go? Well, probably into defense, one way or another. Aerospace, cybersecurity, and those things like that. So that's why we bought into these stocks. They've really done nothing yet. The ITA, we just purchased that on, 7-1, so last week or just the other day. So that one is, we're up 2%. I'll take that, 2% in a week. These other two are just flat right now. This is a bond fund just for security purposes. If you just want stability in things, nice bond fund to get into. And then others, this is nuclear play within, and then ARK. This is cryptocurrencies, technologies, and robotics. This one we didn't buy all that long ago, and it's up 16%. Let's check this one out. So, Ben, let's see what the Oak is doing. 5. We bought it 2 months ago, and we're up 16%. Wow, that's pretty darn good. And you're up 23%. What you got, bud? I bought it because it seemed more accessible at 51. 106 and less risky. Fantastic. Great way to do it. So don't get too greedy. Don't keep adding and adding and adding. Make sure you diversify. And a lot of times take some of the money off the table. It'd be awesome to get to the point where you're basically playing with house money. So if you're up 20%, let's say this continues to run, you're now up 100 or 200%, maybe take a little bit off the table just to, you know, if you get to one point where you're playing with house money, God bless you, brother. So that's our report for today, goes. And Ben, thank you for sticking around with me today. But mortgage rates, they ticked up just a little bit today, but next week, folks, it could be a roller coaster. So stay tuned every day in the morning and in the evening, and I'll keep you abreast on everything that's going on. And please join me on my live events and participate in the questions. That's what I do, why I do these things, to help you guys understand the markets and the reasons why things are doing what they're doing. So thanks for watching, folks. God bless you. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll try to post over the weekend maybe some news that we have coming in on some different programs we have. But if I don't see you, please have a safe and healthy weekend. Be safe out there, folks. God bless, and I'll see you.